Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, the 24th of July. Coming up today, we've got a warning from the RSPCA about a potential spike in animal cruelty cases across the summer. And we've also spoken to a teacher who's celebrating 50 years in education on Sheppey. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A mum's been given planning permission to convert her house near Dover into a children's home, despite the proposal receiving 150 objections. The five-bed property on Cordale Road in Aylsham will be used to care for up to three vulnerable youngsters aged between 11 and 15. Our reporter Sam Lennon has been speaking to Vanessa Idada, who's behind the project.
I'm quite elated. I'm very grateful to the councillors and the chairman of the committee for seeing reasons why this home should be granted for vulnerable children. I'm actually very elated about it, about the decision.
Why was it important to have this children's home?
Because, like we all know, there is a shortage of children across the country, and we all know that the government has made a proposal of ensuring that over 1,000 children's homes should be opened in the next 2 years. I just feel like since there is a shortage of children's homes, and we've got vulnerable children out there, they need an actual home that will provide them a holistic environment for them to thrive and maximise their potential.
Neighbours have raised concerns about noise and antisocial behaviour, but the application's been approved by the council.
Kent Online News.
A man's admitted causing fatal injuries to a victim with a single punch outside a pub in Ramsgate. James Castle died in hospital 3 weeks after being attacked in Harbour Street in March. 35-year-old Marshall Mitchell from Crescent Road in the town has pleaded guilty to manslaughter. He'll be sentenced in November. A family in Folkestone has moved into temporary accommodation after 9 months of living with rats. Video at Kent Online shows the rodents running around the kitchen of a council flat in St Gabriel's Court. Katie Fox says she still has nightmares about them crawling over her three children. Bosses say they're carrying out investigation work to deal with the problem. A man's died following a medical incident at a pub in Gillingham. The Southern Bell on the High Street was forced to close yesterday. Police and paramedics were called after the man collapsed. Bosses have thanked everyone for their understanding. Now, the RSPCA say they're preparing for a spike in cases of animal cruelty across the county as the summer continues. It follows figures released earlier this month, which show 930 cases were recorded in Kent in June, July and August last year. Adam Tasker is an animal rescue officer. He's been speaking to Kristen Hawthorne from our colleagues at KMTV.
Every day in the summer, it's very busy. We get a lot of calls, roughly just over 300 a day, which can be roughly one every 2 minutes, which is quite a lot to deal with. There's always officers on the road, always dealing with jobs and incidents and trying to do the best for animal welfare.
And then what is the most common animal that you see coming in during the summer?
It really varies. We've got quite a common instance. Where people go on holiday and they leave their animals unattended in the house, which obviously isn't good because no one's looking after those animals like dogs and cats. And quite often they can be gone for extended periods of time, which means we have to intervene to help get those animals out and provide them with the best help and welfare we can for them. We are always worried about the increase in jobs we're going to be getting because obviously we're a charity at the end of the day and we do rely greatly on public donations to do the work we do. So that increase in strain on more resources being needed is always a bit of a concern.
And you say it's a lot to do with heat stroke. Can you just say something about that? That, you know, what is the main cause? Because I think during Christmas time, people expect that it's because, you know, they don't have maybe enough money to take care of them. They've decided against it. What in the summer causes so much, so many animals to be brought in?
So all year round, we still do face quite a lot of financial strain when we visit a lot of people. Whether they've got holidays they've obviously paid for and then they can't afford to do anything with their animals, or just employment in general. Lots of people unfortunately don't have jobs and it makes it a lot harder for them to care for these animals. We get a lot of common things like heat stroke, which is quite a common issue that you necessarily wouldn't always think about. And I think when people actually have that happen to their animal, they realise it actually can be quite expensive to deal with that, and they're not always expecting to have to deal with that, so they haven't got the money aside ready to deal with it.
The RSPCA have launched their summer cruelty campaign to raise awareness. A man who exposed himself on a train in Tunbridge and tried to urinate on staff has been sent to prison. The suspect was aggressive and abusive on board the service as it was stopped at the railway station at around 10:30 p.m. on July 1st. He's been locked up for 16 weeks. A Kent uni student student who sold more than 1,000 online kits used by fraudsters is now behind bars. Ollie Holman allowed criminals to access phishing scams, causing victims to lose millions of pounds. The 21-year-old from West London was arrested in Canterbury in 2023 and has been locked up for 7 years. A cat owner in Herne Bay has been left with a 400-pound bill after her pet was shot with an air gun. It happened on Monday in the Carlton Hill area. Luna had to be taken to a vet to have the pellet removed. It's as district bosses say there's been a rise in young people targeting animals, particularly with catapults. We've been hearing our bosses at KCC are scaling back plans to move all their vehicles to an electric fleet. The project is part of the County Council's net zero strategy. Oliver Bradshaw is the Reform UK rep for Maidstone Central. He's been on the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast. He's been talking about the savings they're hoping to make.
A lot of the savings we have found, if you saw the speech from our leader Lyndon in County Council last week, we have already started to find some savings. For instance, we cancelled the move from Sessions House, which is basically County Hall, to Invicta House. It's the net zero numbers. We have the 2050 net zero thing. The KCC is trying to move all of its fleet of vehicles to, you know, electric cars. It's going to say we've basically, you know, scaled that back, which should be saving us about £40 million this year, because it is my opinion, I think the opinion of many of the party, that while it's, you know, net zero and reducing carbon emissions is important,
mm-hmm.
I do believe myself that yes, humans have a link to climate change. I think it is important to do common sense policies.
Okay.
And throwing money at the wall to try and make everything, you know, electric and decarbonize everything just costs the taxpayer undue money. And this will save us around £40 million in the next, I think she said, about 5 years.
Kent Online News.
Two people have been treated by paramedics after breathing in smoke during a fire in Gravesend. Crews were called to tackle the blaze at a flat in St Patrick's Gardens yesterday evening. Five engines and a height vehicle were needed to put out the flames. It's not yet known how it started. Planters that were installed in part of Canterbury city centre are being removed to stop people using them as ashtrays and toilets. The pots were put in as part of the £1 million St George's Street renovation 2 years ago. Council bosses say they're fighting a losing battle in trying to save them from being covered in urine, litter and cigarette butts. Residents in a Kent village are campaigning to buy their local pub. The Black Horse in Stansted closed last October as the owner was struggling with the impact of COVID and the cost of living crisis. It's believed to date back to 1833 and is the last remaining pub in the village. Tom Sheldon and Anna Epps both live nearby. They've told us why they want to save it.
I think it's about community. When you live in this, we've got the privilege of living in this area, you realise the value of community. We're, you know, a small community, and a couple of villages do a lot together. And you just, it's just like sort of ripping the heart out of, you think, well, you know, you lose the village shop, and you lose the pub, and perhaps the school, although we've managed to save the school, fortunately. But it's just another, and you know, it's happening all over the place, isn't it? And so I think that's why we feel so passionate about it.
We're quite rural here, aren't we? And actually having neighbours, you know, having people who can support you and building those kind of relationships are just so important. And they're really important in this modern age, aren't they? You know, it's been proven, hasn't it? Just that sense of community for well-being, for society. And I think it just thinking about how people come together in different ways. Obviously, we've got the church, that's for some. We have some things going, different classes going at the village hall, that's for others. And it's just options for community get together. And the more you kind of strip them away and are down to a few, the less it feels like a group.
People just sort of stay behind their front, you know, their doors, and don't get out and don't mix. And I think particularly for people on their own, it's really, really important you have something like that.
And what I love about the pub, you know, we are a diverse village, aren't we, with people with farming backgrounds, people who work in a huge range of different jobs. They travel for work, they work locally. And I just think the pub is just that place where, you know, all people can come together and kind of get to know each other and spend time together.
They've managed to secure asset of community value status for both the pub and the surrounding land. That means they'll have the right to submit a community bid if it ever goes on the market. Residents are hoping the owner will consider selling it directly to them so they can get it back open.
Kent Online News.
There are plans to turn a Grade 2 listed building in Maidstone into self-contained flats. Medway House, which is opposite the London Road retail park, was previously a hotel and is currently used as offices. An application's been submitted to convert it into 14 homes. It's feared River Island could be at risk of collapse. The fashion chain has 230 shops across the UK, including in Broadstairs, Canterbury, Maidstone and Bluewater. Bosses have reportedly put forward a proposal to close 33 branches and reduce rent at further sites. Now, we've been hearing from a Kent mum about how visits from a fairy helped her daughter recover from brain surgery. Indy had the operation when she was just 5 to help stop brain seizures. Mum Hayley says the recovery was grueling but was made easier when the fairy started leaving little scrolls of encouragement. She and I were able to sit down for a chat.
After a while, it was trying, because she wouldn't play with anything, it was trying to find something that would just give her some magic, just something back. And so I told Indy that a fairy had heard about her and had come to the hospital and lived in the hospital, and the fairy would visit through the grates in the ceiling, and the fairy would visit and she would wake up and there would be a tiny little scroll, little letter for her with notes of encouragement. And it would say things like, you know, I saw what you did, I'm so proud of you, you know, the doctors are working hard, tomorrow's scary, but this, you know, I'm watching you. And she would genuinely wake up and be excited to see if her fairy had come, if there was something on her bedstand. And it was like, oh my God, like she's just excited. There's a glimmer of childhood, something there. And sometimes the fairy would leave things like a little crystal that she could take with her if she was going for a horrible procedure, or not that she really ate much, but sometimes a chocolate coin, anything. But that visit was hers. That was her fairy. She could hold on to it. And it was something that was magical and childlike in the hospital setting. And for me as a parent, it gave me control, because I felt so useless in such an uncontrollable environment. I suddenly felt like I was helping, I was doing something.
I suppose you had a part of her well-being. You know, you put so much faith in the doctors and nurses that they're going to take care of your little child, but suddenly you were involved as well. You had an important role, a job to uphold.
Yes. Absolutely. That's how it felt. It was suddenly my role, and I knew that I had put that smile on her face that day because I had done that for her, although she thought it was a fairy. It was, and as well, I found what was interesting is she would write back. So she would write little words. And one of the times she was about the beeping machine, it scared her, but she wouldn't sometimes vocalise those things to me. So it gave me a way to communicate to her through the fairy where she felt safe.
That's amazing. And I believe that she still writes to her fairy.
Yes, she does. So she does. She still writes to her fairy here. She does. So we, since coming out of hospital, the fairy has come with us and the fairy lives at home. When I saw how well it worked, I decided to launch my company, My Real Fairies. And that has been so healing for Indy and myself as well, because it's really helped her be a part of it and understand that children are going to get fairy packages. So what we decided to do is I really wanted to get these fairies into the hospital, because I knew as a parent how much it helped me and how much it really helped Indy. So My Real Fairies was born.
Can you tell me a little bit about what's inside the package and
how
the parents would sort of go through it? Yeah.
Yep. So basically, the My Real Fairies is fairy companion kits for children. So we have three fairies. We have Harmony, our home fairy, Luna Sky, our garden fairy, and then Valerin, our beloved care fairy. And in these kits are fairy homes to build. So whether it's in the home or the garden, there's magic potions, wooden wands to craft, lots of spells to make it magical for your fairy to visit. And inside that box is a very important envelope for the adult, which has adult eyes only on, and that has blank scrolls, mini little blank scrolls from the fairy for the adult to write messages to their child when the fairy visits to keep that magic alive. But the most important part is for every home or garden fairy that we sell on our website, myrealfairies.com, we donate a care fairy package to a child in hospital. And now what that child will get is they'll get their very own fairy door that they can decorate. They'll get a little miniature bag that they can put the door in when they move room to room, because they move wards and rooms. And they will have a wand to craft, and then the adult will get lots of blank fairy scrolls so they can write messages to their child from their fairy and help them on their healthcare journey.
She's launched the My Real Fairy Kits online and is also selling them at We Sell by the Sea in Whitstable so other parents can help their children through difficult times.
Kent Online News.
It's been revealed the Folkestone Air Show will not return for the foreseeable future. The popular event didn't go ahead last year and it won't be held this year with the District Council redirecting funds elsewhere. It was usually held in August and brought in huge crowds to the Lees and Harbour Arm area. Elsewhere, plans for an inflatable aquapark and glamping pods on Sheppey have been scrapped. The scheme for Barton's Point Coastal Park won't go ahead after environmental surveys found it could potentially disrupt the fragile ecosystem. The report described the area between Minster and Sheerness as a rare habitat for invertebrates and nesting birds. More than 1,000 people have signed a petition to bring back a town handyman in Folkestone. Peter Phillips had been working as the town sprucer since 2012, but was sacked last month due to a lack of funds. Residents are urging the government to find the money to reinstate the role ahead of what's expected to be a busy summer. A teacher who spent his entire career working on Sheppey is celebrating 50 years in education. Paul Murray works at EKC Sheppey Secondary in Sheerness and still gets recognised by former pupils when he's out and about. He's been chatting to reporter Cara Simmons.
50 years ago, I can imagine classrooms were a lot different than today. What would you say are some of the differences?
No IT, which you used to talk, and you get heavily criticised for that now, but when we were teachers, as far as we were trained, was you're there to teach the child, so you try and give them your knowledge, and that is the biggest change, that we would chat a lot with the students, a heck of a lot, but now a lot of it's done by IT and PowerPoints and stuff like that, which is, shall we say, beyond me.
Do you think that adds, I don't know, because I can imagine attention spans have maybe gotten a bit shorter with the children,
yeah.
And having something to, you know, show them on a screen is
a way around it, in a sense, yeah.
Yeah.
It's much more active than we were, I think, which is a good thing, yeah. Yeah, because we never used to shut up sometimes, which is a, yeah. Mm.
And I think, I don't know what subjects were, obviously the introduction of newer subjects have come in.
Mm.
Have you seen, I'm trying to think of subjects that probably wouldn't, obviously IT would be one of them.
One of the recommendations this morning evidently is addressing the issue on suicide, which I think is going to be brought into the school curriculum. And when you think we're doing the Torch of Hope, is it? Which is going to finish here, which is to do with suicide. I think that links together so well, luckily. Yeah, it does. But they need to give you the skills to deliver difficult subjects like that, I think, which hopefully those skills will be given to the staff. Yeah, because it is a necessary subject, but it's a difficult one to deliver.
Because obviously there's so much, I guess, like social media, bullying, those are some, you know, back in the day, there wouldn't be mobile phones. I guess there still was bullying, but obviously not.
There's always been bullying. People will turn around and say, in our school, there's no bullying. There is bullying. And even though we were a very, very successful, I feel, middle school, we had a huge group of students who actually dealt with bullying on a daily basis. That was their job, in a sense, and they had a classroom of their own where they would take students to and help them and look after them. They were amazing, with the buddies, as they were called, Cheney buddies, and they won national recognition for their work looking after people.
A bobcat that was rescued from a man described as the UK's Tiger King is starting a new life at a Kent Animal Centre. Blob was among 23 big cats moved from a facility in Hertfordshire after it was shut down because of animal welfare concerns. He's the last one to find a permanent home and is being looked after at the Big Cat Sanctuary in Smarden. And a luxury B&B in the grounds of Sissinghurst Castle has gone up for sale. The farmhouse is a Victorian property with 9 guest bedrooms. It's on land owned by the National Trust, with a leasehold on the market for 150 £150,000. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.